from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. In the boat, they were there with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We continue our journey this Sunday of 3 weeks in a row considering the threefold ministry of Jesus. Remember, we began that last Sunday? We reflected on the preaching ministry of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about how the preaching ministry ties into our fourth stained glass, the teaching ministry of Jesus. And then next Sunday we'll reflect upon the third stained glass, the healing ministry of Jesus. You know, as we consider today together the teaching and preaching of Jesus, uncharacteristically of my preaching style, I want to begin that discussion today to just reflect a little bit on paper some notes that I've written about distinguishing between teaching and preaching. You know, it's hard to distinguish between those two. In the proclamation of the gospel, it's not really clear where teaching ends and preaching begins. Various ministers have gone on to say you can't separate one from the other, teaching or preaching, and neither should you try. Teaching and preaching go hand in hand. They complement rather than compete against one another. However, as we consider their unity today, I also want to touch on just a couple of reasons that they are distinct and how we can help ourselves ensure that we as the church, me as the preacher, us as the worship community are doing both preaching and teaching. When we think of preaching, when we think of teaching, I often think maybe like that rules that we learned growing up in school. Miss Marianne Brown throughout her years did a lot of teaching. When we teach, we instruct, right? That's what teaching is. So teaching instructs the hearer and helps them to grow and form their beliefs. Does that sound what teaching is? I would think so. Teaching instructs the hearer and helps them form what they believe, enhances their knowledge. On the other hand, if teaching instructs, then preaching most often inspires. Preaching inspires the listener to put those beliefs into action. So teaching, we learn, we're instructed about what we believe. Preaching inspires us to do something with what we believe. To simplify it, and I like simple things, right? To simplify it, we would say, I guess, teaching gives instruction, preaching gives inspiration. Or to simplify even further into the words of my friend, General Al Hopkins, he says, "Teaching speaks to the head, preaching speaks to the heart." But one thing is certain, all good preaching includes a little teaching. All good preaching, if a sermon is well delivered, includes a little teaching. While all good teaching includes a little preaching in the lesson, they indeed go hand in hand. So if both preaching and teaching communicate the good news, maybe together as we consider these two folds of Jesus' threefold ministry, we consider them not so much individually today, but as one. In the spirit of our Lord, who sought out his disciples in our scripture today and said, if teaching and preaching are both the proclamation of good news, then teaching and preaching are equated by him today in the words of being fishers of people. Fishing. So maybe it would be helpful for us as we consider this connection of teaching and preaching today to learn more, what does it mean when Jesus said to his disciples, to become teachers and preachers, I want you to become fishers of men. What do we know about fishing? Well, we know that in the practice of fishing, there's a season when it's not always easy. Sometimes they're biting and sometimes they're not. The important thing for us is to be persistent on the journey. One other distinction before we examine fishing completely, one other reminder, an analogy for us on how teaching and preaching both communicate the good news. Last night I took in a basketball game over in Oxford. And early on in that game, Bruce Pearl, the head basketball coach for the Auburn Tigers, he was calm, cool, and collective. He looked more like a teacher. And isn't that what coaches do if they're in practice and they're talking with a very calm tone? If they're instructing Charles, as you've heard your dear leader Andy Kennedy do on an intimate basis, does he teach very sedate and in a quiet tone? Probably not. But we would equate that more with teaching. Some coaches, we would say, are good teachers, right? They're good practice coaches, guys. They prepare us in baseball by giving us instruction, correct? They're good teachers. Why, some coaches are good game coaches, right? They motivate us when it's time to perform. Bruce Pearl, by the end of that game, whoo, he was sweating all over. He was barking out loud. He had gone from teaching to preaching. Teaching gives instruction. Preaching motivates and inspires. You see the connection? But both are coaching, teaching and preaching. And so it is with us. It's all about the good news. And it's all what Jesus describes today as fishing. So now, let's look again. What does it mean to become fishers of God's people? William Barclay and Jody Hill together have compiled a little bit of a model of what we know about fishing. I'm going to quote some of Barclay this morning, and I'm going to mix in some of my own thoughts with it. Barclay would say that to be a good fisherman, you have to be patient. You're not always going to catch, right? It's not called catching. It's called fishing. And you have to be persistent. Patience and persistence go together. Jesus spoke the language of what these disciples knew. This was their profession. He met them where they were and said, take what you know and take it to the world. In fishing, we have to be diligent and persistent and patient. Barclay would also say, we have to be timely in our fishing. I was kind of insulted by this statement a young lady made to me yesterday morning. I had on one of those nice, I forget what they're called, but I guess it looked like a fishing shirt. One of those airy shirts with all the pockets. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It has a little fishy logo. What's the name of it? That's it. Columbia. It's a Columbia shirt, but it had a lot of pockets. She said to me, I was headed to a ball game. She said, you going fishing? I thought I needed to go home and change. But she said, I thought you might. You know what gave her that indication? She said, I live over in Iuka. I met so many boats today on the road. She said, I don't know if they're crappie fishing or what, but it is the time for fishing to begin again. And so it is with us when we are fishers of people in the spirit of what Jesus is saying. There's a time to preach, isn't there? And there's a time to teach. And there's a time to shut up and show the gospel in what we do. As St. Francis would say, sometimes our actions speak so loudly that our words can't be heard. There's a time. And we pray from inspiration from the Holy Spirit to guide us to be timely in our ministry to the world around us. In the words of Ecclesiastes, there is a season. And so it is with us as messengers of the good news. When do we beat them over the head with the Bible? And when do we love them into the faith? We trust in the Lord to guide us and journey with us. Another important ingredient that Barclay, I can't take credit for this one, would say that in fishing, you need to be hidden. How about that? You need to be hidden. Those fish are smart. If you're too loud, or if you move around too quickly, even your shadow, did you know that? Will a shadow scare a fish, Doc? Even your shadow will scare them. So to be a good fisherman, you need to learn how to hide. And this is the ultimate statement, not be seen. So what does that say to us? As ministers of the gospel, as disciples of Jesus, my role as your pastor and your role as messengers of faith is not to be seen. But instead, let Jesus, our Lord, be seen through our life, in our love. Wow. That's the gift of a fisherman, to be hidden so that our Lord may be seen. Lastly, fishing's hard. Was for the disciples. It wasn't fun. You know, I get to go fishing when I want to. Me and Miles get to fish when we want to, Leah. It's fun, isn't it? Kate used to before a pole broke. Fishing's not work for us. But for these disciples, it was work. It was hard. Did you hear what they were doing when Jesus came up? What were they doing to their nets? They were mending them, right? They were mending those nets. They were having to put them back together. And when they pull those nets, sometimes hard work, labor intensive. And you know what it reminds me? If it's hard work, we need to be gentle, Risa, in our fishing. If we jerk on those nets and we're rough against those fish and we just slam them over the head and point our finger with our faith, we're going to do nothing more than rip the nets, it seems like, sometime and lose the catch. Got to be gentle and loving in the spirit of Jesus as we embrace that hard work and proclaim His grace and glory. Had a little fellow this week named John Ferris. He's a friend of Luke's. He's the manager on the high school baseball team. And in some ways, he thinks he's the head coach, too. John Ferris is a little bit special. He has a mild case of autism. Very functional. Very loving. One parent said of John Ferris this week, I tell you one thing about him. He's got more friends than anybody in that school. And John Ferris, besides coaching and running the baseball team as an eighth grader, He loves to chew gum. He hunts down Manya and me. He'll go 10 pieces at a time, Luke said. He'll hunt down Manya and me because we carry one of those big bags of gum with us a lot. He say, where's Mr. Jody? Where's Miss Manya? He'll bust up. He'll break the game down. He'll come up in the stands and find us hunting for gum. And a week or so ago, we gave him a whole passel of gum. Well, he showed up with me last Monday. I was there at practice. Didn't have Mama with me. Didn't have the gum supplier with me. And he said, hey, Mr. Jody, came up in the stand. Stop practice. Come up there to get me. He had to have some gum. He said, hey, Mr. Jody, do you have any gum today? I said, no, John Ferris, I'm sorry. All I have is one piece, one last piece. He said, oh, that's okay. I'll take it. And he got it. John Ferris has a mild case of autism and a major case of love and warmth and grace for all who know him. John Ferris is so wise in his faith that it never considered across his mind that I shouldn't be willing to give my very all, my very last piece, to a fish of God's creation. See, friends, fishing is hard work. Fishing takes sacrifice. So the question for me is, who in the world wants to fish if not for this promise? See, the truth is, when Jesus called them to become fishers, the gift they got in return is that they got to be with Jesus. And that, my friends, made it worth the journey. But equally important, or perhaps at times in our journey even more important, is this. Not only did they get to be with Jesus, but when life is hard, Jesus is with us. So the greater question maybe today is this. Are we fish or are we fishers? The truth is, at some point along our life, we're going to be one or the other. And sometimes we go back and forth between the two, right? But the greater truth is this, my friends. One thing is certain. Jesus comes to both the fish and the fisherman. And he says, come, follow me and live. Amen.